A lot to talk about today. I can tell you as well, just to fast forward to after 5 o'clock, you know that we have that feature called the Fireside Chat. Well, have you ever heard of the Lazy Makoti? Well, we're going to talk to her after five. But first things first, let's get to this important issue about understanding freedom and where we are as a country. My guest is Professor Setulego Matebesi, who's a sociologist from the University of Free State. Prof. Matebesi, appreciate your time. You're on the National Pulse.
Hi, good afternoon, Ashraf, and good afternoon to your wonderful listeners.
Thank you. And so, and a listenership that is connected really to the National Pulse, because they feel it. They feel all the things that impact the country. So it's a really good time to ask you about just that. You know, when we then say tomorrow, so effectively now already we're there, it's Freedom Day, it's 30 years of freedom. What are the first things that comes to your mind?
Well, despite all the challenges, and I like what you said about the oxygen, because I strongly believe that we don't have yet the incredible resilience that we have as South Africans, and an absolute privilege to be a South African today, despite all the challenges. I strongly believe that freedom for me is an ability at this stage to be able to express my opinion. Although from time to time in the beginning of the this democratic dispensation, there has been voices, attempts to mute some of us in this country. But just the freedom to be able to have that ability to can express yourself in a very respectful manner, because with freedom of expression, there also comes responsibilities, and be able to stay, if you've got the money, to stay wherever you want to take your kids to whichever school you like to. That for me is very fundamental, because investment in education is an investment in the future of this country.
So my point, freedom is not just the right to vote, isn't it?
No, not at all. It goes beyond that, because if that was the case, then we will go on the 29th of May, go and exercise our democratic right, and then take a back seat. And this is exactly what many South Africans are trying be doing, where they strongly believe that freedom is only coming alive a couple of months before the elections, and go and elect and exercise their democratic right, and then take a back seat. That's definitely not what freedom is all about.
Now, I'm glad you agreed with me about my image of freedom, freedom providing the oxygen for us to be able to achieve to our maximum potential. Now, we're talking of 60-odd million people. So here's the big question, you know, has South Africa, since Freedom Day, given us the freedom to be able to breathe the oxygen that allows us to maximize our lives to our fullest potential?
Now, going along that very same analogy, one thing that we should understand, it's not going to come from our leaders. I strongly believe that South Africans are expecting too much from their public representatives. Democracy has given us the power. We are the holders of this power. We are possessing power. And up until we realize the potential power, the agency, the ability to bring change, not tomorrow, but today, I strongly believe that then we will be able to breathe and enjoy the oxygen, the kind of oxygen that is available in South Africa.
But, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, in doing that, you're suggesting we're expecting too much. So that means we need to do it ourselves, or are you saying we're expecting too much from political parties and government?
No, but the question is, why is there no consequent management? We often talk about that phrase, but we want consequent management being done by the very same leaders who are scratching one each other's back. We can't do that. We've got an opportunity, and I will never advocate for party X or B, but But citizens, South African citizens, do have an opportunity to do the right thing. And why are we forever complaining, yet we each time are being presented with an opportunity to bring about change, and yet again that opportunity has been availed for on the 29th of May. And also beyond the elections, there are many platforms and structures that we can become involved, participatory governance. And that's why I say it seems as if South Africans will go and vote, and the next day they will go and burn down facilities.
I may disagree with you on the basis that if that were the case, then we would not have any service delivery protests. If that were the case, we would actually not have civil society that is pretty robust as they are right now. We would not have the many people who get onto talk shows like this, or comments on television, or get into newspapers and make comments about things that go wrong in our country. We would not have those things. We would actually have people who'd vote in parties or a party and then simply chill with their feet up for the next 5 years. I don't think that's the case.
No. That's also not what I'm implying, because you will never get a perfect situation. But the fact of the matter is, what we're currently facing in South Africa, you've got, in terms of, and I'm also a follower of the show, people are very vibrant, participating in radio shows and all that. But beyond that, we need South Africans. If you look also at the voter turnout, the question is, why do we have so many young people who are not exercising their democratic right? And why do we have so many young people who also become part of our government, just emulating what is already happening, being part of the problem? And they should dictate the terms. They should dictate the terms and the future that you want, and not become the same as what we already have. So that is the kind of thing that I'm talking about.
Why do you think that so many young people do not participate in the annual or the 5-year democratic process called an election?
No, it's this whole notion. The moment if you mention politics, you will hear people say politics are dirty. Perhaps we have allowed our politics to become dirty. But we can change that narrative. So it's all this whole notion, which is commonly known. People have become so despondent in what they know and see what politicians are doing.
Is it not the flip side where, never mind some of the pronouncements of political parties, the reality is the political parties don't really want the youth of our country to get into positions of leadership in those parties, because that would mean, you know, a massive disruption of the way things work. And, you know, I say disruption in marketing speak, okay? That means a complete change of the way things are done. And those parties, they don't really want that.
Yes, no, definitely. I mean, if you look at the current status quo, I think it will still take a while before we see a massive change in terms of the leadership structures of all our political parties. And what we see is that politicians will always protect their interest. Why would I now allow all these young people come and take over if I've got vested interest in occupying a certain position in party X or Y?
Now, if we go, without even going to all the details, because I think the answers are obvious, and I've mentioned it at the outset, you know, the issues of massive unemployment, the issues of inequality, the issues of poverty, the issues of racism, the issues of just an absolute denial of opportunity. Then it goes back again to that point about oxygen, that if the purpose of government was to ensure that freedom is maintained, that means the oxygen that allows 60 million people to breathe to their maximum potential is maintained, they will realize that. That's not the case right now. I mean, there are just too many examples of things going wrong, isn't it? So understandably, the person listening to us, if they are rather, you know, frustrated, or to borrow a South African phrase, rather hurtful about the reality of what we call Freedom Day, I mean, that would be understandable, wouldn't it?
Yes, but we need to debunk that much further. There are people who are fully aware of what is happening, fully aware of the challenges in terms of service delivery, inequality and all that. And those people will still vote for party X, Y, or Z on the basis of ideological attachment, historical attachment, and a lot of other factors. So irrespective of all the grievances and whatever happens within that party, they will still vote for
Does that disappoint you?
And that,
does that disappoint me that, that it would give parties that fail to deliver a mandate?
No, we should never. But one thing that I will, because I'm an institutionalist, whenever we use democratic means and not violence, then we should allow people to do that. Because what we can do, it's come with education to say, but go out on the 29th, go and vote. But people should also know, that's why I say, up until we realize the power that we have, and perhaps it's only then that people will realize actually they do have power, and it's up to them to bring changes.
So, so lastly, if the incumbent party in power is the African National Congress, and if we concur that there's so much wrong with the delivery of freedom to the majority of South Africans, what then do you say about giving the ANC a mandate going forward?
It's going to be very difficult, and I can put my head on the block. It's going to be very difficult for the opposition to try and unseat the African National Congress, irrespective of what is going to happen over the next couple of weeks. But for me, the question has always been, when is the ANC going to take heed the lessons that is coming, emerging from the outcome of these elections? Because each election, I think people are indicating that.
Okay,
hey,
but
please wake up.
But quick yes, no, should they be given a mandate to continue? Yes, no?
No, it's not up to me. It's going to be very difficult to respond to that question.
Okay.
I don't think it's my role as an academic.
That's where we leave it. Perfect. God, thank you for your time, Professor Rosette.